네. 스님.
You're swimming in the ocean and the idea comes to you that because I am not material substance, this body that I am allegedly in is no more mine than the water that I am swimming in. I am not the body, and I am not the water. And yet, I am the water, the wine, the way, the love, the truth, the bread. And we say to ourselves, well, what does that mean? Jesus said, I am the water, the wine, and the bread. But really, Jesus wasn't there. This was I, the Christ, saying, I am the wine, the water, and the bread. But Christ is not water. Christ is not wine or bread. Christ is spirit. And therefore, what is the real meaning? And we find that the meaning is that all of these material things, these physical manifestations, are imitations about I, the Christ. I, the Spirit, seen through the cosmic hypnotist, the cosmic mind, I, the Spirit, appeared to the world as the forms that it calls matter. Bread, water, wine. But they are imitations about I. And then as I come back to this self, which was swimming in the water, I realize that the body that is swimming and the water in which it is swimming both are physical manifestations about I, the Spirit. This body is an imitation of myself. This water is an imitation of myself. And myself is spirit, consciousness. And so I feel behind this body and behind this water is my consciousness. And my consciousness brings the water and the body together. When I eat food, the reason we say grace is because it is an acknowledgement that the food is not what is really there, but my spirit is there. And consciousness is bringing this food and this body together. And as you dwell in that awareness, you become conscious of the fact that all that is happening in the physical world is but a visible, finite imitation of the invisible, infinite activity of the Spirit. My consciousness governs, for it is the original. And as it goes through the glass darkly of a cosmic mind, it appears outwardly as a form. But in my conscious awareness that I am spirit, I take that form out of the law of matter, out of the law of material substances, out of the karma of this world, out of cause and effect. And bring it under the law of spirit, the law of Christ. And this then, this idea of coming out of the law of matter, out of the law of karma, is the basis of regeneration. and it is necessary to know about regeneration and to know why we must be regenerated. And you can see that very clearly now when you come into another passage in the Bible, the 24th chapter of Matthew. This being the last Bible class for 3 months, I feel that's a chapter we should do, but it isn't a chapter we would normally do because it can be very terrifying if you are not properly prepared. When you come to the chapter on the end of the world in Matthew, you can be frozen with fear, and you can worry about things that never will happen. But when you see the purpose of regeneration is to prepare you for just this very eventuality that is explained in the 24th chapter of Matthew, you can look at the words, and understanding them, they can have no power over you. You have been brought to the place where you are already being regenerated. You'll see what I mean now as we come into this chapter. We'll probably do all of it, or at least try to. We're at a point which you might call the pinnacle, the end of our journey, where we are putting together all of the pieces of the learning so that we can now stand and watch the unfoldment of our own truth, our own self, our own regenerated being as it rises above the dualities of this world. Now let's see it as Jesus had to explain it to his disciples. We're right at the beginning, the first verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, Seeing at all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He was telling them that the human consciousness was being replaced by the spiritual consciousness. The stones that would be thrown down represented the outer manifestation of the human consciousness. All material forms were the outpicturing of a mortal consciousness on earth being dissolved now by the advent of the Christ consciousness. And he phrased it in this symbology. A new consciousness coming to take over the earth, to make it heaven on earth. And even the stones of the temple would be dislodged. Of course, the disciples were merely there open mouthed and listening, but not aware of the meaning behind his revelation. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, if we were not prepared with the knowledge that we are the firstborn, the Christ, and that this physical form and the material world around us, all of it being the imitation idea of cosmic mind, as it dwarfs the infinite into its own finite version of it, and that we, being regenerated, renewed, return to the Father's house, to the true consciousness of spirit. If we did not know this, the end of the world would be very terrifying to us. But now we recognize the meaning of it. What world? The world that I have already overcome. To us, who are moving into our Christ consciousness, we have already seen the nothingness of this world. To us, it has already ended. We are not living in the belief that matter out there is real, or that it has a power, or that the forms of this world are God-endowed and God-supported. To us, the world has ended. We are living consciously here and now in the kingdom of God. We are living in heaven, in our regenerated selves, even though in a measure. We are moving in the spiritual universe. And the end of the world for us is over, not coming. We have been opened to the truth. We have a measure of illumination. We too are disciples of the Christ. And as he speaks to them who listen with wide eyes, he speaks also to us, but from within us, through us. We are hearing the Christ of our own consciousness. Yes, there will be an end of the world for those out there who have not been prepared, who have not opened the way within themselves for the truth. For the generations who have not been regenerated. But I am the living Spirit of God. Do I fear the end of a non-existent world? And so you see, we have come to a place where we can look out fearlessly, for there is none but the Eternal Spirit, and I am that one. Now listen with the inner ear, as the voice within, which in the Bible is called Jesus, speaks to us. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For men shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, there can never be an external Christ. And those who come and say, I am Christ, this is matter, physical form. There is no Christ as a physical form, and there is no Christ who has to say, I am Christ. Christ is your substance. Christ is my substance. No one outside of me can be Christ, for I am that infinite Christ, and there's nothing outside of my infinite self. The Christ of me knows the Christ. It is I. And there will be many who come in my name as pretenders. But they cannot speak the truth to him who has been regenerated to know that I am the very Christ. I seek no Christ anymore. That is my name, my substance, my being. And the false prophets have lost their power. We depend on no man. We depend on nothing external to our own spiritual being. And that is why the world loses its power over the realized Christ. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. To your Christ self, all this is already overcome. The wars, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the hurricanes, the fires, and the floods. These are all appearances of matter projected into ideal form by cosmic television, and we watch them on the screen of time and space, but they are not there. I am. All the sorrows of the world, I have overcome. You see, we can read this chapter now and look at it objectively. We can see that the Spirit was preparing a way, a table in the midst of the enemies of man's false consciousness, going before it to make the crooked places straight, so that those who are sincerely seeking truth could find that invisible table of truth. And look out upon all of the epidemics and pestilences and say, but all there is the Spirit of God, the Christ. And right here where I stand is the Christ, the Holy Ground of God. Never shall I fear an end to a world, for there really is none. There is only my kingdom. And this fear, these cobwebs, these conditioned concepts that clutter us, these have no part of the regenerated self. He who makes his pathway back to the consciousness of truth, of God, the Father's house, the Spirit. There are no mansions of matter that I need be concerned about. Non-reality can never touch reality. There is no way for non-reality to make contact with reality. And I am the Spirit on reality. There is no material form in the universe that can touch me as long as I stand in the secret place of the Most High, Spirit, my name. What can touch the Spirit when the Spirit is all? All power is not in man, but in Christ. Not in person or personality, but in principle. And I am Christ, principle. Self. The only self. How beautiful it is to know that there is no such thing for us as an end of the world. For we know the world never had a beginning. It simply never was. We are not taken in by the cosmic hypnotist, the mortal mind, the tempter. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. When you are in the truth, you will find that you are persecuted. That's when you are being blessed. Blessed are they who are persecuted in my name. But are you really being persecuted? How do you persecute spirit? Persecution is an appearance. And as you rest in the truth, in my name, which is spirit, all of the evils of the world may seem to attack you, but are they really there? Do you see why you are blessed? Because you know they are not there. No persecution can be real. Who is there to persecute spirit? Matter? Can mortality persecute immortality? Can finitude persecute infinity? In false identity, yes, you are persecuted, but in true identity, how are you persecuted? How is Christ persecuted? How is God persecuted? When I am the only, the one. Look unto me, the one, the only, the Spirit, the Christ, the God, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. For I am the Lord thy God, the only, and beside me there is no other. Blessed are they that can look at persecution knowing it is not there because they stand in my name. And so he warns his disciples, you will be persecuted, but I'm preparing you to know that just as the false Christs aren't there, neither are the false persecutors. There's no good and no evil. There is no world. There is only my spirit. And that is your name. And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And you've seen that. How even real good friends in a crisis will turn upon each other, even a man and a woman in love, a husband and wife, over something of a material nature can turn against each other, completely unaware of the non-reality of that material thing about which they're squabbling. All who are in the material consciousness are in the channel of material thought. They are sown to the flesh, to the matter. And the karmic law must strike. But we, who consciously sow to the spiritual universe, living in the realization that all is spirit and I am that spirit, we are not offended. We do not turn one upon the other. For lo, who am I? Who are you? We are the one Spirit. Spirit is never offended with itself. Spirit is never at war with itself. Spirit is never competing or depriving itself. Spirit is harmony, peace, fullness, wholeness, infinite being, and I am that spirit. We have passed the point then of being fooled by the matter that perisheth. We're not in that place where we are striving to get something all our lives, and then find that very something never was anything. It was something that perisheth. We labor not for that meat. We are out of that channel of consciousness. We are walking in the light of the soul. And the forms that come forth from the light of the soul are always the forms that express the qualities of the Spirit. These are the fruits that identify the person living in the consciousness of Spirit. So these are the forms that are under the law of grace, of love, not of matter, not of karma. We have broken the law of karma. We have transcended it. It has no place in my Father's kingdom. It only exists in this world. But we're not waiting for the end of the world to come to us. We have risen above the world. It is ended for us. We are not in it. We only appear to be. And therefore, the law of karma, the law of matter, the law of corruptibility and death does not exist in my kingdom of spirit. And that which is not in my consciousness cannot go forth and express in form. Good and evil cannot express in the form of spiritual consciousness. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Unto the end. If you can look out at the material world, unto the end, until your human consciousness dissolves, and your new consciousness replaces the consciousness of matter, you have endured to the end, and you shall be saved. All of the false powers of matter will cease to clamor, will cease to, in any way, invade your consciousness. You will remain undefiled. This is our path. To endure to the end of the material consciousness. The end of the world. As the rising Christ consciousness lifts us out of the tomb of matter, and we behold him face to face. Out of this you can feel an elevation, an inner spiritual rising, a consciousness of that new substance of your own being. A substance which is totally independent of this world. A substance which completely reveals itself, maintains itself, supports itself, lives itself, forms itself, progressively unfolds itself in infinite variety and beauty. All within your own consciousness. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Christ consciousness is being prepared so that all those who are ready to receive it can stand and witness the change of consciousness over the world. And when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Stand in the secret place of the Most High. The consciousness of spirit, I am. And watch with the knowledge that desolation and abominations, the breakup of material forms, is nothing but a change in consciousness. The overcoming of a cosmic hypnotist, that all that you see out there is the breakup of non-existence. And then that one which being in Judea flee from the mountains, flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. This is telling us not to be Lot's wife, you know. Not to look back into the old consciousness for the moment we turn around. The moment we look back into that material consciousness, we've been caught by the tempter, the hypnotist. We must let ourselves move upward progressively. Not returning to yesterday. The old man who died, let him die. Don't revive the corpse of yesterday's consciousness. That in which his own will stop, not come down to take anything out of his house. Yesterday's mortal consciousness is gone. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Yesterday's mortal consciousness is gone. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, wherever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Let me know what the elect are, those in Christ's consciousness, those who stand in the knowledge of truth. And of course, they will be the cause of shortening the days, because their Christ consciousness shall lift the others. I, in Christ consciousness, if I be lifted up, shall lift all men unto me. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not. Well, of course. I wish we could do this entire chapter, but I see I've kept you a little over time. What I'd like to recommend is, a bit more. It's really about verse 22. It goes all the way up to 51. What I'd like to suggest is that you study this 24th chapter of Matthew in total. It leads us right up into next Sunday's talk in the infinite way. We're going to do immortality. And this is really a superb preparation leading right into the subject of immortality. One thing you can be sure of now is that regeneration is the message of Jesus Christ to this earth. and those who followed him through regeneration, who were his disciples then, were learning that there is a power in man. They were learning, for example, that Jesus, when he stood prior to the crucifixion, had said, "Father, now glorify thy name." Not glorify Jesus, not glorify me, thy name. Show forth the glory of Spirit. And this is what our regeneration is all about. We are here, in a sense, to say to the Father, "Glorify thy name where the world sees me. Glorify the Spirit, not a person. For I am here to serve the Christ, to let Christ live itself as me. I am here to be spiritual reality and nothing less. I am here to show that I have overcome this world. Not to demonstrate things, but God. And to let my consciousness of the Christ externalize itself on this earth as the law of love, the law of forgiveness, the law of remission of sins to all who come into my consciousness. Consciously, to stand in the light. And then all that come into the light are touched by the light. Heaven on earth. So if you will, if you have the time today, for example, or this week, look into that 24th chapter of Matthew, knowing that you have passed the point of fear, of concern, of doubt, and you can read this chapter about the end of the world and say, "Well, I, the Spirit, have already overcome that world. I am in that process now of regeneration which has taken me above the laws of this world. My home is Christhood. My awareness is Christ consciousness, the invisible Spirit of God everywhere